$180 for a $2,500 ring. Not a bargain.
She pawned her mother's priceless heirloom.
It's killing me because I love my daughter.
I don't want to have nothing to do with her.
A question of ownership.
That is my ring. She gave it to me. That ring was from my fiance.
Or a case of abuse.
Asked for my ring back and she slapped me across the face. She's beat me up. I can't take it anymore, Your Honor.
Judge Judy.
Get out of here.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 44-year-old nanny Robin Fox is suing her daughter, 25-year-old homemaker Ginger Wilson, for the return of a ring. Ginger says her mother gave her the ring to pay for a wedding.
Order. Come to order. All rise.
Yes, this is case number 9 on the calendar in the matter of Fox versus Wilson. Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated. Folks, have seats, please.
Miss Fox, the defendant is your daughter.
Yes, ma'am.
And you claim she has a ring of yours.
Yes, ma'am.
That she refuses to return.
Yes, ma'am.
How did she come into possession of the ring?
My daughter asked me the day after Christmas for a loan for diapers and such, food for my grandchildren. I didn't have any money. I had a ring. She asked me if she could pawn my ring. I said she could. She was supposed to give it back to me on January 1st. The ring never came back to me. On around
How was she supposed to give it back to you January 1st?
She was going to pay the $150. I have the original pawn slip. My daughter went in with the false pawn slip to the pawn shop with Terry Spriggs. And at this time, I went in and I spoke with the pawn man. I was quite upset, and he told me my daughter had come in the 20th, Your Honor, and Terry and Ginger, and it's killing me because I love my daughter. Terry went with my daughter, took off every one of her little diamonds to get my big diamond. And
she took off just a second. What does that mean? I don't know.
Terry wanted my diamond so bad that she took off all of her little diamonds to get my diamond out of the pawn shop. Ray told me,
Well, you can't tell me what somebody else told you.
Okay. I have asked my daughter for the ring back. She says she doesn't have it. When I spoke with the pawn shop man, he explained to me
Don't tell me what he explained.
Well, he told me that Terry had my ring. I must tell you, Your Honor, that I did go to Mrs. Spriggs, asked for my ring back, and she slapped me across the face and said that she sold it to a hooker on D Street.
Did you do that?
No, I didn't.
Well, step up. What did you do to her with her ring? Look at me. What did you do with her ring?
I have the ring.
Where is it?
It's at home. When Mrs. Fox came to my home, she was intoxicated, and she was out on the front porch with my husband for a long period of time.
Just a second. What were you doing with her ring?
The ring belongs to Ginger. Ginger was afraid that Robin was going to get the ring out of the pawn shop because she had stolen the pawn tickets from Ginger's home because the pawn tickets were gone.
Well, let me ask you this question. Miss Ginger, tell me how you say you came into possession of the ring.
I've had the ring since 98. I have proof right here from the pawn shop in South Lake Tahoe.
Okay, I'm gonna take a look at that.
At that time, there was no stolen
report. Just a
minute.
Well, what were you doing with this ring?
She had gave me the ring in October of 98.
Why?
Her and her husband had broken up.
Yes.
And she was going to be getting a lump sum of alimony, and she did not need the ring anymore. She gave it so my husband and or my fiance and I could get married.
Did you use it to get married with?
No, we have not got married yet.
Why haven't you gotten married in 2 years?
A lot of things have happened since then between her and I, and we just haven't had a chance to.
So why don't you give her back the ring?
She gave it to me.
Oh, well, why don't you give it back to her? Mother wants her ring back. Why don't you give it back to her?
Well, because of the fact she went to the pawn shop and got out another ring, forged my signature to it. I also have evidence here of that.
Whose ring was that she got out of the pawn shop?
This one was mine also. You know, I didn't
get
count
it. Just a second. Where did you get it from, the second ring?
I've had it for a long time.
Where did you
from
get
it? From my fiance.
So are you telling me that your mother forged your signature and took out a ring that never belonged to her?
Yes.
Yes, and I was with her when
When did she do that?
22601.
Let me see it. When did you take this ring out of the pawn shop?
I think it was January 22nd. Mm.
So before this February 26th date?
That's why I had gotten out the big ring.
You got out the big ring before you say she went back and took out this ring.
Yes. Your Honor, because she was afraid that that's what she was going to do was with the stolen pawn ticket and go get the ring out of the pawn shop after she had already given it to Ginger.
What made you fear that?
Because she stole the pawn slips off of my bulletin board at home.
So why didn't you take both rings out?
I didn't have enough money. That's why I borrowed the money from her.
Is that why you gave her the rings? You borrowed the money from her and gave her the rings?
Yes, the ring. It's one.
What I still don't understand from you, young lady, is let us say that you are correct, that your mother gave you that ring 2 years ago so that you would have a ring to be married in. Mm-hmm. That's what you say.
Yes.
And yet this second pawn slip that you show me is for a wedding set.
Mm-hmm. It was a different wedding set.
But a wedding...
Yes.
I understand that, a different wedding set. So you already had another wedding set to get married in.
It was after the
shift. Okay, after before. You already had another wedding set to get married in, right?
Yes.
So if your mother gave you a ring, and the purpose of that ring was for you to be married in, and that never happened, why don't you give her back the ring?
Because that's the ring that we're still going to get married with.
Maybe she'll give it back to you again.
I don't want to have nothing to do with her after
this. Then give her back her ring. You have the ring?
I don't have it in my possession right now.
Oh, I understand that you just told me you don't have it in your possession right now, but according to your testimony, you have it at home.
Right. And I paid it $180 to get it for Ginger.
Well, no, Ginger owes you that money. Do you understand? Ginger owes you that money. You gave her the money. She needed the cash. She gave you the ring for collateral. Nobody's giving you a $4,800 ring for $100, right?
I had the ring appraised. The ring was not appraised for $4,800.
How much was it appraised for?
It was appraised for $25.
Well, then you still got a bargain. $180 for a $2,500 ring, right?
Yes.
Right. The ring goes back to the plaintiff. You got it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Perfect. Now, you may not want to talk to your mother anymore, but at one time, clearly 2 years ago, you and your mother enjoyed a reasonable relationship because, according to you, she gave you a ring because you were going to get married and she wanted you to have a nice... That's if I believe you. And she wanted you to have a nice ring to get married in. That's if I believe you. So clearly, at that point, you were on good terms with your mother. The fact that you have a new wedding set that you also pawned... People live on pawn stuff.
I don't have that anymore. She has it. She forged my signature to that.
Well,
I no longer have that one.
How do you know she did that?
The signatures don't match.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Robin Fox says her daughter Ginger Wilson stole her wedding ring. Ginger says the ring was given to her as a gift.
Did you retrieve this wedding set from Las Vegas Pawn?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Where is that ring set?
It's with me. It was my...
Shh. You have it.
Yes, ma'am.
What does it look like?
It is a wedding set. It has one diamond, and then there's a bunch of diamonds around it. It's two rings. It's a size 5. It is mine. I inquired it within 1 year ago. I almost remarried, and it was mine. My daughter was so scared to go back into the pawn shop because I was, at the time, trying to
Ginger had criminal. It. Ginger pawned it.
Yes, she did.
Ginger had it. Ginger pawned it.
Yes, she did.
This is not the ring that you're suing for here.
No, ma'am. It has nothing to do with...
Oh, yes, it does. Because that has to be returned to her.
No, that's my ring. That is my ring. My daughter had it in the pawn shop.
How did she get it in the pawn shop?
She asked for another loan. I have given her so much money for my grandchildren. What am I to do? She has a drug problem. I love her. I want her clean. She's beat me up. I can't take it anymore, Your Honor. Uh-huh. I cannot take it anymore.
You wear a size 5 ring?
Yes. Yes,
just a
I
second.
Do.
You wear a size 5
yes,
ring?
Yes, I do.
Just a second. Let's see. And this is a size 5 ring, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. What size ring do you wear?
I have no idea.
Well, let's try. Let's try it on the plaintiff first. It's a little bit smaller than a 5.
It almost goes on. It's a little bit smaller than a 5.
I can shove it on. Mine is a little bit smaller than a 5.
Okay.
Now let's see how far it gets on the defendant.
It won't fit on my wedding finger at all.
Mm-mm, not on my rings.
It ain't your ring.
I never had it sized. That ring is mine.
You don't have it sized. You don't have it sized from a 5 to a 9. Thank you.
I didn't steal the ring. That ring was from my fiancé.
No, it wasn't. Get out of here. You haven't worn a size 5 ring since you were 6 years old. I know what a size 5 ring looks like.
Yeah, I know that.
You're right. Keep the ring.
Thank you.
The ring goes back to her. She owes you $180. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
5 days. Do you know where your local police precinct is?
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
Where is it?
It's in Victorville.
What day is good for you?
Saturday.
What time?
2 o'clock.
This Saturday at 2 p.m., you appear with the ring at your local precinct in Victorville. You bring the ring. You bring the receipt. Clear?
Yes.
That's all.
Thank you.
Times are excused. You may step out.
The one she had forged a signature to is not hers.
It was very hard for me to do this. I love my daughter. I'm very sorry, but I had to get my ring back.
And now the next case.
All parties on Berger versus Feldstein. Step forward, please.
20-year-old former nanny Sierra Berger is suing her one-time employer, 45-year-old business consultant Julia Feldstein, for the payments on a car she helped her buy. Julia is countersuing for expenses she incurred.
All right, Ms. Berger, you were working as a nanny.
Yes.
For the defendant. You needed a car. You had an old car that wasn't any good, and according to your complaint, Ms. Feldstein agreed to take out a loan in her name because you couldn't get a loan in your name. The car is titled, I gather, in both of your names.
Mm-hmm.
Your employment terminated.
Correct.
And Ms. Feldstein took back the car. You want all the money that you put into the car. Ms. Feldstein is counterclaiming because she says she has been forced, in order to maintain her credit, to make certain payments on the car. And that's what this lawsuit is about. You couldn't get a loan on a new car.
Correct.
And what was your financial arrangement? How much were you paid?
I was paid $600 a week.
So you were able to afford this car?
Yes, I was.
Ms. Feldstein made you an offer?
Yes.
Tell me what that offer was.
She offered to put a loan for a new car under her name. When we got the loan, we didn't really make an arrangement of when I was going to refinance the car or how long the loan was going to be for. We entered into a 6-year loan, and there was never really a discussion on what the arrangement would be. When we decided that I was no longer going to work for her, she told me that I couldn't use the car unless I continued to work for her. And I didn't feel that was fair because I had been paying for the car and I had full coverage insurance on it. She made me sign a letter stating that if I decided not to work for her, that I had to turn over the keys right then.
Go ahead.
I do have the letter with me.
Can I see it, please?
Yes.
Okay, this said that she had made a certain offer to you to hold the car for a month,
mm-hmm.
so that you could obtain financing and transfer ownership.
That's correct.
Okay. How did you expect her to obtain financing mm-hmm. if she had no job?
Well, let's go back because this transpired a little differently. In February of 2000, she started looking for a car. And she talked about the used car, et cetera. And I said, why don't you talk to my broker? About 2 weeks later, she came back to me, and she asked me if I would do her a favor, which was to finance the car for her because she couldn't get financing. She said that when she was 18, she bounced a check. And, you know, this was a temporary situation is what I understood. And I did say to her, I said, well, what happens when you no longer work for me? And although we didn't really specify what would happen, I said, I guess we'll just jump off that bridge when we get to it. And I used that phrase. And she got leather interior and a few other things on it. It's a nicer car than what I drive. I signed on it, never promising to finance it for the full term.
And never promising not to.
Right. Then in March, which, yes, I agree with that, in March, my situation changed. I had to restructure all of my debt so that I could complete the settlement with my now former husband. And I was getting turned down. I was overextended. So I said to Sierra in the end of April, that she needed to refinance the car. And that's when I found out that there was no way that she could get a loan on her own because my bank told me that there were credit problems that were, for whatever the basis was, because I didn't want to know. So then then in February, when I terminated her employment with me, she said, I will do whatever it takes to keep that car.
Excuse me, Your Honor. First of all, I never went to Ms. Feldstein and asked her to put the loan under her name. Never once. I test drove a used car that I was going to buy. And she said, look, you already bought a new car, you had a bad experience with it, and that if I needed her to, that she would put a loan for a new car under her name.
Fine.
But yeah, I never went
Fine,
and asked
But now you're in the
it.
Following situation. Where is the car now?
It's parked in my driveway.
Okay. So now you're in the following circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Berger, you don't think that Ms. Feldstein owes you for all the money that you put into the car and your monthly payments since you drove the car
mm-hmm.
all this time. You don't believe she owes you all
Actually,
that money.
Actually, I do have something on the miles that shows that the miles are on the car are all, or most of them, accumulated from services I did for Ms. Feldstein.
That doesn't make any difference. That was a condition of your employment. She was paying you $600 a week net. That is a lot of money for a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it. So, as a condition of your employment, you had a car. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's not go back. Let's not do that.
Okay.
When you buy a new car and you take it out of the showroom,
mm-hmm.
that car's value decreases as soon as you take it out of the showroom.
Right.
And then, as you drive it, it depreciates further in value.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, even under the best of circumstances, the fact that you are seeking all the money that you put into this car is ludicrous.
Actually, I was asking her to settle with me for $2,000, but she said no. They offered me $1,000.
Of course not. She's not going to settle with you. What you two ladies have to do is really quite simple. The car has to be sold, period.
Your Honor,
Yes.
I'd like to... I've got the form here. I'm even asking her if she'll just sign it over. I will take care of everything. I'm going to lose another $3,000 just to sell the car.
You might, but the problem is she doesn't believe that.
Oh.
You probably will.
Yes, I know I will.
You probably will, but she doesn't believe that. All right.
I don't believe it. It's that I did try to finance the car. I went to Ms. Feldstein. I asked her if I could have some time. She wouldn't let me have the time.
Listen, I don't care.
Okay.
That's not relevant. My best guess, Ms. Berger, that if the car was sold, that there is going to be a loss and you will get nothing. Do you understand?
Yes.
Ms. Feldstein, according to you, offered you $1,000 just to sign over the title to the car.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to you would be to accept that offer.
Okay.
Fine. Now, Ms. Feldstein,
yes.
You have a counterclaim.
Yes, I do.
Your counterclaim is without basis because there was never any agreement between the two
mm-hmm.
of you with regard to this 6-year loan.
Mm-hmm.
When you originally agreed to finance the car,
mm-hmm.
what you did was you said, we'll jump off that bridge when we come to it.
And I'm jumping.
And you're jumping.
Yes.
Well, that's a risk that you take when
that's
you do
right.
something so foolish. I mean, you're an
right.
adult. She's a kid. All right? But bottom line is, you're going to be stuck with this car
mm-hmm.
and making payments on this car
yes.
unless you get out of it.
That's right.
ASAP.
Right.
And if there was an offer for $1,000, I think it's a most generous offer. I think that the plaintiff should take it, and I'm entering a judgment for $1,000 for the plaintiff. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I felt that was unfair. I had invested all this money into this car, and it was taken from me.
If you signed the car over now, it would have been better if it had been a month ago. That would have been the only thing that we could have changed about it. So I'm satisfied.
Only have her mother co-sign for her.
I think the most important thing is that when someone can't get credit, there's a reason for it. Stay clear.